Okay, now you may have heard about this so-called proposed crackdown on dodgy boxes in recent days, but what does it actually mean and will it affect people who use them? Well, on the line is Adrian Weckler, technology editor at the Irish Independent. Good morning, Adrian, and thanks for taking our call.
Good morning, Owen.
Let's look, first of all, about what a dodgy box is, and for those who have maybe never heard of them before, what exactly do they do?
Yeah, it's a device. It's like a set-top box for your television, or it could be a dongle that plugs into your telly, and it's typically loaded with software that lets you get around the paywalls that premium television, like premium sport or movie services, have. So, I mean, they're illegal, but they're quite common around Ireland. It means you can look at the Premier League football and that sort of stuff for quote-unquote for free.
Yeah, so you do have to pay a certain fee, don't you?
Yeah,
I think to buy the dodgy box first and then to, you know, maintain it on a yearly basis.
Yeah, usually you will pay a service of 10 or 15 or 20 quid a month, something like that, to whoever is selling it to you. Again, illegally, but and then there's the cost of the box itself, which is, you know, typically 100 quid or so.
Okay, so there is a crackdown now on the dodgy boxes, and what was initially reported was it was going to be a crackdown on those who are supplying these dodgy boxes, but can it also affect those who are purchasing them?
Yeah, it absolutely can. Now, that's not to say that guards will be calling around to houses for people who have them, at least at this stage. The way it works, basically, is that those who are selling or supplying these boxes, there's a list of about 20, I understand, people in Midland counties, around Kilkenny, Kildare, Tipperary, Wicklow, Wexford, Meath, Offaly, among the counties being targeted. And once they go after those guys, they'll look for the lists of people that they've sold the boxes to. And it's at that point that they might go after people using them. Now, it's very rare for someone who has a dodgy box, Mrs. Murphy down the road, to actually be prosecuted or pursued for that. But they can do that. Like, anyone who says you can't be prosecuted for using a dodgy box is just flat out wrong. The Irish Copyright Act of 2000 specifically says that you can be prosecuted for using a dodgy box. So you may not be, but you could be.
Okay, and this crackdown at the moment is being directed by an organisation called the Federation Against Copyright Theft, or FACT.
Yes.
And as you say, they're targeting around 20 sources or distributors, including here in Kildare, in Offaly, in Wicklow, in Dublin, in Meath, all of those counties right around us here. So what is the actual process now going forward, Adrian?
Well, the process is that, as I said, the first wave will be those suppliers, distributors and sellers. I'm going to be staying on this story, so I will provide follow-ups as to what happens here. But typically when this type of crackdown happens, at least some of those who are distributing or selling will stop distributing or selling. Like, they'll be warned, and in some cases they're prosecuted. In Ireland, people who do sell dodgy boxes are somewhat regularly prosecuted, actually, in the courts, and, you know, face fairly hefty fines and often spells in jail as well. So that's what's going to happen next. That's what's happening in the weeks and months ahead.
Okay, some of the other points that you deal with here in this article over the weekend, which was a question from one of your readers querying whether or not those people who buy and use dodgy boxes can actually be prosecuted. There was a point maybe made that using a dodgy box is now justifiable because of the cost of living crisis and maybe how expensive it can be to have premium channels and premium boxes installed, and some people are going down the route now of a dodgy box because, sure, it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah. I mean, that's a justification you'll definitely hear. It's a little bit of a flaky one. I can understand the sentiment behind it. Basically, the argument there is that Premier League footballers are getting paid, you know, £400,000 a week, and meanwhile, we all have to pay, you know, 100 quid a month or more to get this content into our tellies, and that's outrageous. And to hell with them and we're just going to get the dodgy box. It's a bit of a flaky argument, though, really. First of all, like, premium television, it's not exactly electricity. It's not exactly a necessity. Like, by definition, it's a luxury. And secondly, like, it's a weird thing to try and morally determine the price of something yourself. I mean, I don't know, you know, in my local shop, Mars bars have gone up to €1.60. Now, I'm kind of outraged at that, but I'm not going to just toss 50 cents on the counter and walk away with the Mars bar and say, well, tough, you know, you're profiteering. So, but that argument is definitely there, yes.
Okay, and also then the point is being raised, Adrian, that these are unregulated, so malware, viruses, etc., getting on to maybe people's televisions or laptops is a risk because of they don't know what is actually on these dodgy boxes.
Yeah, that's arguably the bigger risk in pragmatic terms if you use one of these boxes as opposed to a guard calling at your house. I'm not sure if you've ever seen a stream from one of these boxes. Sometimes they're really clear and consistent. Other times they'll just flake out halfway through and you try to diagnose the issue or you know, it's not like you've got customer support to the same degree or guarantees or warranties or anything like that. Like you're kind of taking that. You're basically hot wiring your television with kind of illegal content. So, yeah, that is the greater risk from using one of these devices.
Okay, well, there you have it. That's Adrian Weckler, technology editor at the Irish Independent. You can read more in the newspaper and also on the online edition where Adrian goes through some of those questions that are being asked in relation to this crackdown on dodgy boxes. It will affect those that are supplying the dodgy boxes, but as Adrian said, also as a consumer, you are open to prosecution. He does point out that those prosecutions and searches are very, very rare. But according to the law and the Copyright Act 2000, it says a person who has in his or her possession custody or control of a protection-defeating device, knowing or having reason to believe that it has or is to be used to circumvent rights protection measures is guilty of an offence. So that's the latest on that. And 12 counties being targeted, including Kildare, Meath, Offaly, Dublin, Wicklow, and some of the other counties in the country as well. So thanks to Adrian Weckler for joining us here on KFM. When we come back after the break, we'll go through the HICWA inspection report on Moyglare Nursing Home in Maynooth.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, if you were tuned in to the show on Friday, we went through the HICWA inspection report of one of the St John of God centres in West Dublin. That prompted us to take a look on the HICWA website at some of the inspection reports that have been carried out at nursing homes here in Kildare. And over the course of this week, we're going to profile one nursing home each day and go through five different inspection reports since January. That were issued in January. So the one that we're looking at this morning is Moyglare Nursing Home. The name of the provider, Moyglare Nursing Home Limited, and it's located out on the Moyglare Road in Maynooth. The inspection was unannounced and the date of the inspection took place on the 20th of September 2022. Now, Moyglare Nursing Home is a ground floor, purpose-built nursing home with a capacity of 54 residents located on the outskirts of Maynooth. A variety of communal facilities for residents are available, and residents' bedroom accommodation consists of a mixture of 38 single and 8 twin bedrooms. Some have ensuite facilities and all have wash hand basins. It intends to provide each resident with the highest quality standards of professional nursing care and a commitment to involve residents' families in the delivery of services and continuum of care. The report says staff strive to work effectively with the multidisciplinary teams who are involved in providing care and services for residents. Nursing care is provided on a 24-hour basis. The philosophy of care is to maintain the basic values which underline the quality of care, autonomy, privacy, dignity, empowerment, freedom of choice and respect for the humanity of each individual resident. Quality of life and well-being is the primary aim of healthcare provision within this designated centre. So if we take a look then at the full list of regulations considered under each dimension, we can go through what was found to be either compliant, substantially compliant or non-compliant at Moyglare Nursing Home and Quiva. We start off there with Regulation 15 and staffing.
That was substantially compliant, Owen. And then Regulation 16, training and staff development in Moyglare, substantially compliant again. Regulation 21, records, substantially compliant. Regulation 23, governance and management, not compliant. Regulation 31, notification of incidents, substantially compliant. Regulation 4, written policies and procedures, compliant there. Then when it came to quality and safety, Regulation 17, the premises, not compliant. Regulation 27, infection control, substantially compliant. Regulation 28, fire precautions, not compliant. Regulation 5, individual assessment and care plan, substantially compliant. Healthcare, which is Regulation 6, substantially compliant. Regulation 7, managing behaviour that is challenging, substantially compliant. And then Regulation 9, residents' rights, compliant there. And Regulation 29, medicines and pharmaceutical services, compliant on.
Okay, we'll go into more detail then on some of those. And as you mentioned, some of them are already compliant. But if we look at those that are substantially compliant and compliant, the way we'll work it here, according to this report, is we'll look at what the HICWA inspectors found and then also the response of the nursing home and what they said they were going to do in order to improve and come up to compliance standards. So with staffing, the report here says the level of staff on the day of the inspection was adequate to meet the assessed needs of the residents residing in the centre on the day of the inspection. However, a review was required to ensure that the provider will provide sufficient resources and appropriate staffing levels having regard to the needs of residents when reaching full occupancy and considering the size and layout of the centre. What was the response of the nursing home in terms of staffing, Quiva?
Yeah, in this report and the findings, the response from Moyglare was that it would include the following admission protocols, which were updated in the statement of purpose, assessment components, proposed date of admission, responsible persons, the use of evidence framework in determining safe staffing requirements, use of Rees Hearn's dependency tool in determining the correct staffing calculations based on residents' dependency and acuity, and the number of additional staff required identified when reaching 47 to 53 bed occupancy, staging of admissions with strong reference to the layout of the vacant rooms, and then risk and quality management system involving in ensuring the level of compliance of safe staffing requirements and then staffing recruitment protocols own.
Okay, the report also found that Moyglare Nursing Home was substantially compliant with training and staff development. It says training records were provided to the inspectors for review and indicated that there was an active training schedule in place and most of the staff completed appropriate training and other training relevant to their role. However, while the general manager appeared to have good oversight of what training staff had attended, management needed to ensure that staff members improved their knowledge in respect of completing nursing assessments, care planning and restrictive practices, the report stated. What else or what did the nursing home respond in terms of this, Quiva?
Yeah, the response from Moyglare was the training records were provided to the inspectors for review and indicated that there was an active training schedule in place and most of the staff completed appropriate training and other training relevant to their role own. A training programme will be developed and implemented in the area of nursing assessment, care plans and restrictive practices specific to nurses. And then after the training is completed, each nurse will be allocated with updating and reviewing the resident assessment, care plans and specific to resident clinical risk assessments in the use of restraints and enabler zone.
Okay, when it comes to records, again, substantially compliant, the inspectors reviewed 6 staff files and noted that 4 staff files did not contain all information as required by Schedules 2 and 4 of the regulations. For example, the report says written references from a person's most recent employers, the dates when the staff commenced the employment, and one evidence of the person's identity was missing. The response of the nursing home, Caoimhe?
The written references from the most recent employers, dates of staff commencement or of employment and evidence of identity will be now secured and provided for 4 staff members. That was the response from Moy Glaron.
Okay, then governance and management. The nursing home, according to this report, was not compliant in this area. It says while the management structure in place was clearly defined, the reporting system required clarification as staff challenged the communication of roles and responsibilities of the new management team. Inspectors observed that the attic space was used for storage purposes and bedroom 15 was converted into an office space. While the new audit schedule was in place and accurately identified the areas of improvement with proposed actions to be taken, the timeline of completion and review, if the improvement and actions were correctly addressed, they were missing. The provider failed to identify risks associated with works being carried out in residents' rooms, according to the report. Also, oversight of residents assessed needs and care plans required improvement, it said. The registered provider had not ensured effective governance arrangements were in place to ensure the sustainable delivery of safe and effective infection prevention as outlined. So again, not compliant. What did the nursing home Moy Glaron say that it was going to do to address this, Caoimhe?
So Moy Glaron said that in order to come up into compliance, they would do the following things: communicate to staff about the governance structure of the centre and were facilitated during handover and staff meetings. The attic space was cleared of storage items. Own floor plans and amendments to premises and fire will be incorporated. Monthly 2-level audit summary report timeline of completion, improvement and actions addressed are now and should be now included. Risk assessments to mitigate the risks will be completed first prior to works carried out in the centre. Quality improvement plans specific to residents' assessment and care plans will be put in place. Quality service improvement plans specific to infection control and prevention and staff training will be implemented. Current service improvement plans specific to fire safety and standard already commenced back in August and in progress and will be completed by the end of this month, March. And just to mention, many of those actions will have already been implemented and completed on.
Okay, notification of incidents, again, substantially compliant. The report states, while notifications were submitted within the specified time frames and as required by the regulations, quarterly reports submitted to the Chief Inspector did not include the use of chemical and environmental restrictive practices. The response from Moy Glaron Nursing Home?
All notifications specific to chemical and environmental restrictive practices will be notified to the Chief Inspector every quarter by the person in charge or registered provider as set out in the regulation zone.
Okay, when it comes to the premises, the inspectors acknowledge that the provider has improved the premises since the last inspection of the centre. However, the report says parts of Moy Glaron Nursing Home did not conform to the matters set out in Schedule 6 of the regulations. For example, there was a broken toilet paper holder with sharp endings in one of the residents' bathrooms, posing a risk of injury for the resident. The temperature of the centre required a review as the radiators were scorching, it says, posing a risk of scalding. The temperature in the drug room was 26.8 degrees Celsius on the day of the inspection and was continually above 25 degrees since the start of January, which was not safe for some of the medicine storage. There were holes in the wall in the linen room, posing a risk for pest control. There were 4 bedrooms with bathrooms with shower corner in the centre that was not accessible for residents with increased mobility needs. In St. Martha and St. Pio units of the centre, there were insufficient assisted toilet facilities in close proximity to the residents' bedrooms, and the registered provider operator did not ensure, it says here, that the premises of the designated centre were appropriate to the number of needs of the residents and in accordance with the statement of purpose. What did the Moyglare nursing home say?
Yeah, so they said the toilet paper holder was now replaced back in October. Room thermometers, digital thermostat will be replaced in the units and corridor areas to monitor the temperature in the centre. Specific to the room temperature in the drug room, a ventilation system in place to ensure temperature to be set below 25 degrees there, Owen. And if we just turn over the page, then the holes in the linen room have been fixed back in October. The four bedrooms in St. Anthony will be occupied with residents with low mobility needs, ensuring access to shower facilities. Under the refurbishment plan, another assisted bathroom facility will be constructed. Refurbishment plans in progress in relation to premises and fire standards too, and then floor plans and amendments to the premises and fire will be incorporated. And again, a lot of these actions have been implemented and may already be completed, Owen.
Indeed, infection control then substantially compliant at Moyglare Nursing Home. The inspectors were not assured that equipment was decontaminated, according to this report, and maintained to minimise the risk of transmitting a healthcare-associated infection. Assistive equipment such as shower chairs, nebulizer masks, wheelchairs and seat cushions used in the centre and examined by the inspectors appeared visibly unclean. Some staff were observed to adhere to poor practices in respect of personal protective equipment. For example, three staff were observed walking into the kitchen area without appropriate PPE. There were unlidded bins in clinical waste. The same blood pressure monitor cuff was used for residents with infection, and some doors and furniture were observed to be unclean and stained. That's according to this HICWA report. Did the nursing home carry out some procedures here then, Caoimhe, in response?
The response then was that all staff entering the kitchen will now wear white aprons in Moyglare Own. All clinical waste bins will be provided with lids. A new set of blood pressure cuffs will be provided and used for residents with no infections. And a repeat infection control training has now been implemented and was completed back in November and December of last year, Own.
Okay, now we're just getting tight for time, but to mentioned that individual assessment and care plan substantially compliant, healthcare substantially compliant, managing behaviour that's challenging substantially compliant. They were compliant in residents' rights and medicines and pharmaceutical services, and also written policies and procedures. We're going to look finally though, Caoimhe, at fire precautions, which was not compliant. The registered provider, according to the report, had failed to take adequate precautions against the risk of fire in the centre and to ensure that residents were protected from the risk of fire. So in response, Moyglare Nursing Home, what did they say?
They said electrical cupboard and staircase leading to the attic space would be emptied, hoist batteries moved to the charging point areas, fire extinguishers and blankets provided in the staff smoking area and residents' external smoking area. The fire exit signage is to be replaced above the fire exit door in the sitting room. Emergency lighting above two external fire exits are to be replaced. Alternative staff storage area for hoist was identified. Curtains were secured to prevent blocking the fire exit and fire door zone. Break glass unit will be fitted at the gate located in the courtyard. New fire rated attic hatches will be fitted in the ceiling. Fire seals will be fitted in the walls and ceilings to maintain the integrity of the fire rated construction. Gaps in all doors identified in the report will be fixed to ensure containment measures for fire and smoke, and works already commenced there back in August. 60 minutes fire doors ordered in October, potentially already complete now. Subcompartments to be aligned with corridor fire doors, and regular fire drills for staff were conducted and scheduled in the centre. And like I said again, their own, just to mention that many of these actions will have already been completed or implemented.
Okay, so that's our look at Moyglare Nursing Home in Maynooth. The HICWA inspection reports, again, it is a matter of public record. If you want to look at it in more detail, you can visit it and view it on hicwa.ie. We reached out to Moyglare Nursing Home in case they wanted to provide a statement or a comment. We haven't received a response as of yet, but the channels of communication always open, and we'll be covering another nursing home around the same time tomorrow morning. So we're looking at five different inspection reports that were issued by HICWA on nursing homes here in Kildare over the last few months, and that is our first one that we looked at, Moyglare Nursing Home in Maynooth. Thanks indeed, Caoimhe.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Let's go back to the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, and Fianna Fáil councillor and Cathaoirleach Suzanne Doyle is with us on the line. Good morning, Suzanne, and thanks for joining us again.
Thanks. Morning, Owen.
So local issues that you've been raising, is there going to be an extension of the footpath out to the GAA pitch in Kildangan? Did the council give you costings for that?
They've given us costings. I haven't given confirmation because everything is dependent on budget. So there's two choices. There's a 90,000 option or a 160,000 option. I suppose sensibly the 90,000 option would use the footpath that's on one side of the road and then connect it in through a crossover to the other side of the road. I think for a village like Kildangan, and when we're trying to promote walking, etc., it makes great sense. But we really have to look at whether the engineer can stretch to that. I'll continue to push it, and if there's a means of doing it at all, I would hope that it can happen. But I can't say for definite yet. We have to look at budgets for this year.
Okay, I see you also want the council to defer the statutory process for the Kildare local area plan until the current CSO figures are released. Why is that?
Look, I'm just concerned. As it stands, I've done lots and lots of LAPs, and in my early days I used to start off bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and be all optimistic about them, but I've learned to be super cautious because the best laid plans, things happen. And we'll be the only LAP that will be done in that interreg period between what I anticipate will be a review of our county development plan based on the figures. So to put it simply, within the county development plan, we're projecting growth for Kildare of over 400 units, Kildare Town I speak about. The proposed LAP is going to extend that to 650 units. But the reality is we currently have under construction and with planning 1,400 units. So I'm just really concerned about a credibility gap for our plan. So things like ring roads and different infrastructure, and I get where the planners are coming from. They feel that there's a huge gap in the infrastructure we have, and they're 100% right. But if we put down a plan that, you know, proposes that we're going to grow to X when we're really going to go to Y, we miss opportunities. So already they're proposing not to identify a ring road. Now, we may never have a ring road. We might be going in a direction, I don't personally believe it, where there will be no cars. But we can't look for what we want theoretically and ignore what we have practically. So I'm just concerned. It isn't our function. It is an executive function. They say they're going ahead with it anyway. I've no option to engage, and I will do that judiciously. We've already had a forum of stakeholders within recreation and amenity within the town. I want to do a number of forums of different groups, vulnerable road users, footpaths, etc., and look at how we can make best of this plan. But I just think we will be revisiting this sooner rather than later on foot of the review of the statistics, because the county development plan is on a false premise. And all of it has been unfortunate with the lacuna of COVID, etc., the delayed figures. But I'm just very nervous. You wouldn't go out and bake a cake with the wrong ingredients. No.
Okay. I see you also want the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District to be twinned with a similar municipal district or a town in Ukraine as an act of solidarity.
Yeah, and this is something a gentleman in Newbridge contacted me, and I think Peggy O'Dwyer has a similar motion down for full council. Look, to a large extent, this is an act of, you know, I don't see any of us travelling to Ukraine, etc. It is an act of solidarity. We have so many Ukrainians that are in our area. It would be a focal point for them to learn their traditions. It is going back to the Twinning Committee. I've spoken to the chair of the community SPC, Carmel Kelly. She seems to be interested in it. It's a matter of resources. I would like to say to the executive, this is not going to take an awful lot of resources. We're already doing huge community work within the Ukrainian population. Make this one of the projects, and I think it'll give them a platform to, you know, show off their country proudly and raise awareness, because we have so many similarities in terms of our history with Ukrainian people, and we need to build on that. That's what the essence of twinning is finding commonality with people.
Okay, is there going to be a community centre out on the Dunmurry Road in Kildare Town? Or certainly there would be if you had your way, Suzanne.
Well, I'd love to see it happen. And I suppose we did that stakeholders meeting on of recreation and amenity use in the town, which was really positive. And I want to thank Phil in the council for helping to facilitate it. But what became obvious, and it's not obvious, we knew already, but there's already two or three groups that are simply homeless. We have a bowls, very active bowls group going out to Nerney. We have a boxing club that are sitting in a premises that's at risk. We used to have a really vibrant basketball. It's no longer there. Badminton are going from Billy to Jack. So this is a planning permission that actually exists. It was something that the Housing Association were to deliver, but was deferred because of new regulations in the housing approved housing bodies. So I'm saying to the council, you own the land, we have the planning permission, let's be bold. I've spoken to a number of people within the community who are ready to come around it and put their shoulder to the wheel. And the first action is, I've asked a QS in the town to go out and price how much it would be to put this there now, because we did a price at the time and obviously that's gone up. It's an interesting plan. It actually even includes a residential unit within the plan, which I think is smart. It's directly across from the graveyard, which might give it a means of earning revenue if we were to provide soup and sandwiches and things. So I think it's an excellent location. By no means is it the answer to all our problems, but it could be a real focal point to gather community to drive, let's do it for ourselves here.
Okay, Fianna Fáil councillor and Cathaoirleach of the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Suzanne Doyle, thanks for your time this morning, Suzanne.
Sports Review Monday on Kildare Today.
Yes, indeed. And we take a look back at what's happened over the course of the weekend from a Kildare sporting point of view. And it is a positive Monday morning. And we'll start off with pride of place to Kildare, David Herity's Kildare hurling squad, who secured an injury time draw with Offaly. The final score was 23 points to 217. And that means now that the hurlers have advanced to the Division 2A final. And joining me on the line is Shane Dillon, who was co-commentator along with Pat Costello in Tullamore yesterday afternoon. Morning, Seamus.
Good morning, Owen. How are things?
The positive news keeps on rolling for the hurlers.
Yeah, 16 games now unbeaten, but I suppose James Burke and David Herity himself were, you know, quick to maybe knock that back. It's not something that they discuss or has come up in any conversations. They're just happy to keep playing and keep performing and getting the results. And, you know, I think if David Herity had been handed a programme at the start of the year to where he is today, he would have been a very, very happy man. And, you know, it's exciting times for Kildare Hurling.
Take us through the game, Seamus. I was listening to your commentary yesterday with Pat, and it was a game of two halves. I know Offaly were quite dominant in the first half, but Kildare stuck with them. Kildare led by 6 points at one stage in the second half, but ultimately it ended in a draw.
Yeah, Offaly had 14 shots on the goal in the opening half, and they converted 13 of those, and that was probably a worrying aspect from it. But, you know, it's hard to understate. The conditions were really, really poor. The pitch very, very heavy. A swirling breeze, probably, that looked like it was favouring Kildare in the first half, and then it changed completely at the second half. But walking off after the game, it was into your face across the pitch. So it was a... Yeah, James Burke did allude to that in his interview, that how, you know, the conditions were tough, and then it started to rain just after the halftime break. For it was non-stop for about 15 minutes. But yeah, in the opening half, just things didn't go right for Kildare. They trailed 13 points to 10 at the halftime break. They had got back level at 5 points each, and 3 points in a row from Paul Dolan, Conan Bourne and Jerry Keegan got them back level. But then Offaly pushed on again and were 11-7 ahead by the 31st minute heading towards the half-time break. But I think I did say it in commentary that psychologically that last point that James Burke got before Kildare went to the dressing room to leave it 13-10 was really an important score, and it gave them a little bit of hope that they came back from five behind at 12-7 as well after 32 minutes to be just three down at the break. And whatever David Herity said at that half-time break, it certainly worked wonders, because in a 16-minute spell, Kildare outscored Offaly by 10 points to 1 to move 6 points in front and look to be coasting towards a good victory. You know, a victory that would have been well-deserved. But Offaly's attacking options weren't really working out at the early stages of the second half, and they decided to go route one, long balls into the on top of Paddy McKenna and the Kildare full back line, and it was James Nally and Charlie Mitchell with two opportunistic balls that came when break ball on the ground, and pulled on their shots, and it put them back in the driving seat as we headed towards the closing stages of the game. 2 points from Owen Cahill. He was unbelievable from free, the same as James Brooke, given the conditions, and his two scores in the 66th and 69th minutes pushed Offaly back into a 1 point lead as we headed into injury time of 5 minutes. We did end up with six, and Clare threw everything at it, and it was Simon Lacey and Mark Delaney were blocked down. It looked like they were to level it up, and the last ball that broke out to Cathal Dowland, who was absolutely outstanding for Clare yesterday. Serious work rate. He played it in, it got into the goalkeeper Corcoran. He fumbled it, and like something that maybe you would have seen in the opening minutes of the game, it was three Kildare players, Gerry Keegan, Declan Flaherty and Mark Delaney, converged on the keeper, forced him into overcarrying, and the 20 metre free was just greeted. It was unbelievable cheers from the Kildare supporters, because that equalising point guaranteed them their place in Division 1 or in the Division 2A final, and they're 70 minutes away now from an opportunity of going up to play Division 1 hurling.
Yeah, Division 1B hurling now a real possibility for Kildare. They're into the final. They'll play either Offaly or Kerry, who meet again in a semi-final, and we'll have to wait and see what happens in that game to find out who Kildare's opponents will be. Let's hear from manager David Herity.
Just to come back and hunt down that ball there, the last one, to try and get the draw and obviously secure us the league final. I'm very happy with the lads that they just didn't let that game slide. That easily could have just gone away. You could easily lose that game and you'd be facing Kerry in the semi-final or next week, but the lads refused, even though when everything was going wrong and the balls were, we got blocked down, geez, about four times in a row there, still managed to hunt it down and get that valuable draw.
Here's Kildare captain James Burke.
Sheer desire, this team, the work rate, absolutely the heart, absolutely everything. Like, things didn't go our way there in the second half. A few frees where, you know, they were given a ref call as a throw ball, and another later seen as a hand pass. You know, two goals kind of against run of play coming in, kind of lucky ball breaks, two goals in kind of from just long balls out, nothing, and just the determination and the heart just to keep going and to fight for absolutely every ball. And just delighted that we got the draw in the end and got it straight through to the league final now.
Absolutely, we'll have much more reaction to that on the Kildare scoreboard show this evening between 6:30 and 7:00. Now, Kildare will play Division 2 football next season after Glen Ryan's footballers beat Limerick 3-10 to 2-7. I know JJ Power sent a message in to us querying whether or not Kildare could still be relegated to Division 3 if Kildare lose against Meath next weekend and Clare beat Limerick. Kildare would still stay up on head-to-head against Clare, as I understand it. So as far as Kildare are concerned, they have assured their place in Division 2. They beat Limerick yesterday, as we say. And Ger McNally was providing full commentary of that game from the Gaelic grounds with Peter McConnon. Morning, Ger. What about that game yesterday afternoon? Your reflection on it?
Yeah, ultimately the right result and the result that Kildare needed. And as you explained there, yeah, it's enough to secure Division 2 football next year. But yeah, far from a fantastic performance or a fantastic game. Indeed, it was kind of a flat enough game for the majority of it. Kildare did what was required of them. At one stage, it looked like they would win fairly comfortably against a pretty limited Limerick side. They were 6 points ahead, but Limerick got a goal back. And in fairness, Kildare replied instantly with their second goal and a really well-taken goal. They started with a mark from Aaron Matheson and go play by Danny Carwin and Jack Robinson, eventually getting the finishing touches. And again, Kildare were 6 points ahead going into the last couple of minutes and were pretty comfortable, really, it had to be said. They really just knew that they had to avoid conceding a goal, but unfortunately Limerick got a second goal back, and then it was really a nerve-wracking spell. 2 minutes of normal time left plus 5 minutes of additional time, and Limerick were piling on the pressure looking for an equalising goal that could have made it a very nervy finale, and even a finale next week in the final round of the games. But thankfully then Darren Carwin broke away and got a counter-attacking goal with a lovely piece of improvisation, soccer-style back-heel flick into the net to score Kildare's third goal and get a much-needed win.
OK, so Kildare will stay in Division 2. What about the Tailteann Cup versus Sam Maguire, Ger? Where do we stand with that?
Yeah, no, I put out a tweet this morning. Kildare, theoretically, next week could lose and still end up in the Sam Maguire Cup, or they could win and yet still be relegated in the Tarleton Cup. But either way, we won't know until the provincial championships play out in 6 or 7 weeks' time. So ultimately, Kildare just have to go and get the win. It could, when we look back in that 6 or 7 week time period, it could prove to be a very, very important win. And all Kildare can do really on Sunday is take care of their own business. And it's going to be a great occasion, I'm sure, with the finale and the last game in St. Collins Park before the redevelopment work starts there. But Kildare just have to focus on the job in hand, because it really could be an important game come the summer time. But obviously Meath themselves aren't in great form either, but a local derby between Kildare and Meath, kind of the cliche goes form goes out the window, and it'll just be about kind of who wants it more on the day.
Okay, here's Kildare manager Glenn Ryan.
You're right, it was about the result, and I suppose at different stages we played like that we seemed a little bit desperate to be at different stages, and I suppose that obviously as a result of our last couple of results where, you know, things haven't gone our way. Wouldn't say they went our way today for a lot of the game, but enough went our way for us to be able to go away with a smile on our face and 2 points.
Yes, indeed. And again, we'll have more reflection on that game this evening on the Scoreboard show between 6:30 and 7:00. 3 Kildare GAA Club League finals were decided over the weekend. In the Aldridge Cup final, Selbridge beat Sarsfields 111 to 11 points. The Keogh Cup final, Monastrevin finished 2-13. Cara 3-9. A Ryan Bannon goal 4 minutes into injury time, giving Monastrevin a 1-point win. And in the Dowling Cup final, Milltown won that, defeating Grange 2-8 to 1-8. Diane O'Hora's Kildare women footballers were away to Sligo in the Leader Ladies Division 3. They beat Sligo 3-15 to 1-5. In the Leinster Under 16 Championship, it finished Dublin 5-5, Kildare 1-8. The Kildare Camogie side in Division 3A beat Mayo 2-9 to 1-6. And in the Minor Championship, it finished Laois 1-14, Kildare 1-6.